Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Well, hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Jules Says. I'm Julie, Jules' grandmother, mom. Thank you for being here, and thank you for rating, reviewing, and especially thank you for sharing with your friends and your enemies. As always, all perspectives and opinions on this podcast are mine, unless I have a guest. Today, I don't have a guest. And I definitely do not expect everyone to agree with me, and I'd be happy to hear from you if you have more or better information on anything I talk about here. For example, credit card companies. Right now, I am so annoyed with Amex, American Express. One of the reasons I use credit cards is because I believed, apparently erroneously, they had some sort of guarantee on whether you receive your order, etc. Some of them even insure things that get damaged. I'm sure someone told me years ago that that was the case, that credit card companies have the ability to charge back to the vendor if the customer disputes a charge with reasonable evidence. However, if you order something and never got an order confirmation and never got a shipping confirmation or tracking confirmation or the thing you ordered, you have zero evidence of anything. So it's kind of hard to dispute. Here's what happened to me. I ordered, I seem to recall, a side sleeper kind of body pillow with an armhole that it's kind of supportive. You can lie on your side and put your arm in a thing and then something supports you. It's for Abe. And it was, I think, around $45 US, not a fortune. And I vaguely remember ordering it, but I stupidly ordered it through one of those Instagram ads, which was my stupid mistake, number one. I admit that. But anyway, when you order something like that online, these things do typically take ages to arrive because they're shipped from far eastern regions of the world. Sometimes these companies also represent themselves as US-based, but it's usually a lie. I've called companies and said, "Where are you located?" "Oh, we're all over the world." No, I'm talking to a human now. "Where are you located?" "Not in the US." One of them had a Toronto phone number, but it got routed through to a dispatcher in some other foreign country, which I immediately, when you're putting up smoke screens like that, I don't trust you. And it's all smoke and mirrors, these companies who sell from other countries. So you are probably thinking, justifiably, that I should have known better than to order from an Instagram ad. But I have done it before and had sometimes good results. Anyway, I ordered this thing December 30th. Time passed. I kind of forgot about it. Although I do recall thinking at some point in January, "Hey, I think I ordered that pillow thing and I haven't received it." Whereupon I searched my emails and found nothing and thought, "Well, maybe I didn't order it. Maybe I just looked at it and didn't actually order it after all." Because there was no email confirmation. And plus, according to someone recently, I have dementia, but I'm not diagnosed with dementia. But when I checked my credit card bill, There was a charge from some company called Bulk LNC, B-U-L-U-K-L-N-C. I feel perfectly fine telling you the company name because from what I can tell, they don't actually exist. I searched my email for the company name, the spam, everything. I searched for the amount. Nothing. I clicked on the URL that showed online on the credit card statement. This site can't be reached. I called the phone number shown on the credit card statement. Call cannot be completed. So I disputed the charge with category not recognized. I'd forgotten about the pillow thing. Amex credited the amount while they did their investigation. And I thought that would be that. Great. A while later, I got a paper in the mail. Not an email, which is ridiculous because my preferred method of correspondence is email, but a freaking piece of paper that said the dispute had been closed since the charge was authorized. I authorized the charge. There was a paper accompanying the letter with a Stripe authorization for the charge. So then I thought, okay, I did order something. What was it? And at the time, I couldn't remember. And this piece of paper I got in the mail just didn't help me because I still didn't recognize it. It was just this Stripe charge. It didn't say what it was. It didn't say anything about it other than I had approved it. So I thought a little harder. I Googled the company, found a site called Bizipedia. Yeah, that was it. That said this company was registered in September 2023 in Denver, Colorado. And it is in good standing. I will share the link to this Bizipedia link in case you're interested, and maybe you have a similar complaint with the same company. The link has a bunch of reviews, all of them scam, 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 ordered product and nothing sent. So I kept searching for information on this company. There's only one contact named Yin Lin and no email address or phone number. A lot of reviews from people who've been scammed. One of the reviews showed a picture of a side sleeper pillow, and that's when my mind, my dementia-riddled mind, went, oh yeah, that's what I ordered. Now I remember. So I went online to resubmit the dispute, but it wasn't possible. I had to call American Express and wait and wait and wait because, you know, call volumes are higher than usual. No, they're not. They're always high. You need to staff properly. You're making excellent profits. Pay people to man your call lines. But I eventually got through to a customer service person who was lovely, and I told her that I thought I had ordered this side sleeper thing, but I definitely didn't receive it. So she was able to resubmit the dispute, but this time with the category of goods not received. Then a couple weeks later, I logged on to my Amex for some other reason, and I saw that the amount had been charged back again. Ugh! I suppose they sent me something in the mail to tell me instead of emailing me. This time, though, I was able to reopen the dispute online, which was odd, so I did. And I attached a bunch of the scam reviews with an additional comment basically saying, I don't know how I can prove that I didn't receive something. Sure enough, when I got home from New York City this week, there was something in the mail from those asshats, which they called evidence that the item had been shipped, which is BS. This has to be a forged document from this Chinese company. I searched my email for a tracking number to see if I could find something that matched the alleged tracking number on this quote-unquote evidence of shipment from this company. Nothing. There's nothing on the evidence saying what I ordered. There's no evidence of any communication from them to me either way. The weight of the item is apparently 0.1 kilos. Nah, that pillow would not weigh 0.1 kilos. That's obviously the number they put on their little forged documents. And so, if Amex is willing to accept forged documents, maybe I should just send them a certified document telling them I didn't receive the item? I wonder if that would work. And because I reopened the dispute, so this is number three, I got another piece of paper in the mail that said the credit card company just facilitates charges and they can't provide a refund unless the merchant agrees. If I have evidence from them offering me a refund or processing a return, then they can proceed. Ah, the original complaint was that I have no evidence of anything. There's no evidence from my end that I have ever dealt with this company. Just a vague recollection of ordering something and a charge on my credit card. So I'm quite livid about this. But I suppose it's my own fault. So I've paid the charge and I will use the shit out of this credit card until my cashback date arrives in September, at which point I will cancel that card and never deal with American Express again. Bottom line, this Boo Luck Inc. company or Boo Luck Lunk company is a scam, 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 scam. They direct you to a site that is something else, not using their name, and they don't have PayPal as an option. I don't know. Would we trust PayPal to charge back to the vendor if there's a dispute? Probably not. So, live and learn. I'm always learning. I keep saying it. And here's another example. On a more positive note, Abe and I met Joanne and her little boy Richard in New York City last week. For some reason, though, I don't know why, I just felt really, really nervous about going on this trip. And I think I've realized that I don't like traveling. I think it's the unknown that unnerves me. And when I'm not home, I feel out of sorts for at least a few days. Even if I go to a resort or something, for the first few days, I just feel weird. And I know it's irrational. But little things really get me too when I'm traveling. For example, as we exited the airport after landing, some very, very friendly, smiling young men aggressively accosted us, pressuring us to get one of their cars for a flat rate ride into the city. And I just hate being approached like that when I land somewhere. I don't know who I can trust. And these guys almost pushed us toward a lineup of cars. And then I saw the Uber sign. Uber? Since when does Uber push people to use their service without them ordering it on the app? I've never seen that before. And how does that even work? So I said to the guy, no, we're taking a taxi. And the guy said, oh, no, no, the taxi will be way more expensive. This guy was offering us the ride for a $75 US plus fees. What fees? Congestion tax, tolls, I imagine. But the taxis are metered, he said. Oh, no, 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 I said. I already checked online and saw that you can get into the city for between $50 and $60. No, no, he said. That's not true. See, it's normally $85. And he showed me his phone. And I said, that's Uber. I'm talking about the taxi. Okay, we'll give you a ride for $65. So now we're negotiating? All of this is as Abe and I are walking away, and I do not feel comfortable negotiating these things. I don't know who I'm getting into a car with when someone just approaches me who I don't even know at an airport, and it really just felt sketchy to be pushed toward a lineup of cars. The other strange thing about this airport was, it was LaGuardia, was that the Uber lineup was right at curbside when you exited, and you had to cross the street to get to the taxis. So I kept walking and I said to the guy, I'm just going to see how much the taxi is first. So we crossed the street and got a taxi. The lady who was kind of directing the taxis, I feel bad for the taxi drivers. I mean, if it's good to have competition, but I don't like being railroaded. Anyway, this lady said it would probably be around $65. And it turned out to be close to $65, and that included a congestion tax. The thing is, though, when you get really close to Times Square, which is where our hotel was, if you check Google Maps, it's faster to walk than to drive because it's just so jammed with traffic and pedestrians. So we decided to get out of the taxi close to the hotel and walk the rest of the way. It probably would have cost us another $10 or $15 to sit there in traffic and wind our way to the hotel. That's right. I had booked a hotel right at Times Square. I like being able to walk everywhere. Ideally, I never need a taxi or an Uber or even a subway or bus. I don't like getting into cars with strangers, and I don't particularly like navigating unfamiliar transit systems that much either. Plus, I love the energy and the buzz of being right there. I just love being in the city.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
So we checked in and rushed to see a live taping of Late Night with Stephen Colbert, which we were so looking forward to, and which I will probably never do again. Don't get me wrong, the show was great. The production was exceptionally well organized. The warm-up comedian was also great. He did all this crowd work. He was good. And I love seeing what goes on behind the scenes for these things. I really do. But they kept telling us, the audience, to go nuts. Cheer and yell and clap as though you're at a football game, one of the guys says. Okay. Not only would I not yell and scream at a football game, but unless you want an audience that listens intently with their hands folded in their laps and claps appreciatively and cheers warmly at the appropriate parts, I am not the best audience member. I don't laugh out loud. Even if I think something is really funny, I don't go nuts, as they were telling us to do. So I'm just a bad audience member. So it was a lot of effort for me to muster up the level of enthusiasm that they demanded. I don't like it. I don't feel comfortable with it. I feel that that's pressure. This is why I very rarely will go to a comedian's album recording. Well, I won't go to the album recording shows if they're in an intimate venue, because they want the LOLers. Plus, there were times we couldn't see without looking at the screen. So what's the point of being there live if you have to look at the screen? I will say I can certainly see why Stephen Colbert is a star, though. His ease, his sense of timing, the way he picks up to redo something just so seamlessly. He was great. One of my cousins said he's her dream man, and I totally get it. He's smooth, smart, funny, warm, apparently kind and considerate, although you never know. What a man. One thing that I found a bit surprising about the Times Square area was how uncommon vegan food options were. I assumed the bigger the city, the more options would be readily available. But that's not really the case. We kind of had to search a bit. A lot of the restaurants are very meat and cheese-based. The next morning, Joanne and I went to a drop-in dance class at the Broadway Dance Center, and then the four of us went to a matinee of Back to the Future, which was absolutely spectacular. It's hard to imagine how some shows will work on a live stage, but this was unbelievably great. The performances, the special effects, like everything about it, I can't recommend it highly enough. I would go see it again. We went out for dinner after the show, and then Joanne and Richard went to see Spamalot, which is Richard's all-time favorite, and Abe and I went to see Tommy, as in The Who's Tommy. It was a preview performance, so I think they start the run in another week or two. And I had seen it a few years ago in Stratford, Ontario, with my cousin, and I loved it so much that I really wanted Abe to see it. But as unbelievable as this sounds, I preferred the Stratford production over the Broadway production, and I have no idea why. Maybe because this was my second time seeing it. I mean, of course it was great. It's Broadway. Everything's great. But the Stratford version, for some reason, just gripped me. And it's not because I was hammered or anything, because I drive to Stratford and then drive home after. It was just great. The next day we went to the Central Park Zoo. Well, Abe had to work. Richard, Joanne, and I went. Then the four of us went to see Aladdin. And the next day, the Lego experience at the flagship Lego store, the Museum of Natural History, which included several animal species I had never even heard of, and they're beautifully presented. The area is spacious and dimly lit, which I love. And then the displays are very, very artistically lit. And the nocturnal animals are lit in dim lighting, like as though it's nighttime in their display case. It was really good. I really recommend that. Obviously, it's been there forever. Then Joanne and I went to another dance class, and then the two of us went to a little bar in Greenwich Village called Marie's Crisis Cafe. The first time I heard of Marie's Crisis Cafe was when I saw an episode of Travel Man a few years ago where Catherine and the host, Richard Iotti, were in New York City. It's a show-tuned sing-along piano bar extravaganza. What could Joanne and I love more than that? I was so excited to go there. It's not open mic. You don't get up and take turns singing in front of people. Everyone sings along as the pianist not only plays, but sings along too, pausing only long enough for a drink or a laugh or to encourage patrons to keep filling the tip bowl. They really do pressure you to fill the tip bowl, but I mean, I get why. And most, if not all, the staff are working actors, musicians, singers. I think some of them are photographers. And I think all the servers are singing servers. They're on the website billed as singing servers. There's no cover charge, which is nice, but they have a 2-drink minimum, mandatory coat check, and it's all cash only, which makes me very nervous. Well, maybe I should stop using credit cards and just go with cash. American Express. But I always worry that I'm going to run out. The only other thing you could do without cash was they did post Venmo QR codes for the musicians and servers so that you can tip the staff extra. When Joanne and I got there, I think it was about 8:30, and it was already jammed. Standing room only. Everyone singing at the top of their lungs. The crowd so thick around the piano that we couldn't even see the pianist at first, but we're kind of short. And Joanne noticed when the bartender poured our first drinks that he free pours, and I should have heeded that warning, but I did not. Yes, vodka soda is relatively safe, but not in unlimited quantities. And I've got to say, the less often I drink, which I don't drink very often anymore, and the older I get, the less I can tolerate it. It's poison to me now. I thought that I knew show tunes. I love show tunes. Joanne knows show tunes. But that night I realized that I do not, in fact, know show tunes at all. I could hardly even remember all the words to some of the shows that I've been in, never mind all the ones I didn't recognize. Could be the dementia. Seriously. And some of the singers there were really good. Quite a few were obvious regulars, people who knew the words to even the most obscure, and I can't remember the name, Joanne could probably tell you, but I can't remember the name of some of these songs that I had never even heard of. And some of them were very wordy and they went at breakneck speed. And some of these people knew all the parts. Some of the songs would have 2 or 3 parts of different people singing back and forth, and they knew it all. They sang it all perfectly all the way through. Complicated songs. I was in awe. When the first pianist finished, another was ready to take his place. I met a man there named Sean, who hails from the UK, who said this second pianist drives in from, oh my God, now I forget where now. I forget. I think I might have been 3 free poured vodkas in by that time. But anyway, this guy drives in from somewhere kind of far away just to play at Marie's Crisis Cafe. It was great. I don't exactly remember leaving. Thank goodness Joanne got us home safely. Free poured vodka is not my friend. But when I got to bed, I slept like a rock. And I did wash my face and brush my teeth before I went to bed. I would never forget that. But I didn't even wake up when poor Richard threw up on the bed. Not my bed, his mom's bed. So we spent the next day not doing a whole lot. I was a bit hungover, Richard wasn't very well, and Abe had to work pretty much the whole week when he wasn't at a show or out for dinner with us. We did manage to get to the Nintendo store, which, we did not know this, is the only store in North America. The only other legit Nintendo stores are in Japan, and I think the guy said there are two of them. So this place is very, very special. They have demo stations where you can try the games, which I am absolutely not interested in. But of course, Richard loved that. And thankfully, he started feeling better that day, and we decided to see The Lion King on our last day. And then we had our final visit to the magical Lego store. And after that trip, you know, I think someday I should go to New York all by myself and just spend, I don't know, a week going to a matinee and an evening show of something and taking my time at museums and art galleries because I love it and I love taking my time in those places and I feel very safe walking around such a busy place. Apparently, though, Joanne has friends who prefer London's West End over Broadway and find it less expensive to fly all the way from British Columbia to London, England to see shows than fly to New York City to see shows. That surprises me. Yes, NYC is expensive, but are hotels, shows, and restaurants any less expensive in London? I don't know. I always stay with Catherine in London, but it seems a bit strange, especially for someone flying all the way from BC. So, if you happen to live near London and appreciate live theater, I hope you take advantage of having West End productions so close. Because it's a gift. There are people thousands of miles away who would urge you to support the glorious opportunities near your doorstep. I will probably not go to another live taping again anytime soon. Too much pressure. Too much pressure. Happy spring. We have snow today. I hope you're getting something nicer. Even though we had beautiful, unexpected spring-like weather in New York last week, this week we have snow. But that's how it goes in this neck of the woods for a while. If you have anything you'd like to share, email me at julesays@gmail.com. Thank you for listening. I'll be back next week.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.